coffee stay black, just like me. Don't need no sugar, don't need no cream.
What up, family? Look, Malcolm X has a quote. He said, it's not that we're outnumbered, we're out-organized.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Bartholomew Jones, owner and creator of Coffee Black. I'm an educator, I'm an MC, and I'm a coffee nerd. And I have a question for you guys this week. Can black coffee be used to empower or elevate black protests? Or maybe we flip the question. Can black protests use black coffee or leverage black coffee? So normally, if you've been a part of these podcasts before, the way they work is that we talk about the history of black coffee. So we've touched over the general theft of coffee from Africa. We've touched on the Oromo people group, ethnic group. Note, by the way, they are not a tribe. They're an ethnic group. Some brothers reached out to me and put me on game. Also, there's a difference between the Habesha people group and the Oromo people group. So just more information, man. We're on this journey of learning together. So look, is black coffee a tool we can use? Much like protest, much like sit-ins, much like boycotts, coffee has the potential to be a tool that's used for continuing this process of black liberation and empowerment. And I think not just for black people, for all people. If you are a person who's seeking to find your purpose that God has given you in your life and shake off the sugar and cream, you have to look for resources to help you achieve that, right? And one of the things that we all have are our talents, our skills, right? Things that we have been able to do, that we've been gifted with, things that we've discovered, resources, right? So if you've watched the past two episodes, you know that coffee is a huge resource that has been discovered by black people. Unfortunately, that resource has not been used or really galvanized for the purpose of benefiting our communities. And there are many things that people use to try to benefit our communities, right? We use education to benefit our communities. Of course, we use our voice. We use protest. And I wanted to talk a little bit about protest before we get into the black coffee question, because I think there's a misperception around protest. And in order to really get into the question of can black coffee be used by black protests to elevate or empower the process, I think we have to first understand really what is the purpose of protest. Because a lot of people confuse protest with activism, and there are two things that are both good but are not the same. And so I'm going to try to share with you some information I've gained, particularly from like 2013 to 2016, just some of my experiences protesting here with some really dope leaders in the city, like Tammy Sawyer, and hopefully can provide some insight on why I personally decided to invest more in black coffee and cultivating and really generating fruit from this particular industry or arena in order to then reinvest what we bear back into the community. So check this out. I went live on Instagram. I talked about it. You can watch that. Or if you're listening to this, you can listen to that. I want to share that information with y'all because a lot of people have encouraged me, like, man, please put this out so we can share it with more people. And then we'll wrap back around at the end, man. So appreciate y'all. Stay safe. And of course, keep that coffee black.
Good morning, family. I hope everybody's good. I wanted to just hop on here and say this. I have had a thought in my mind, and I've shared it with some people individually, and so I just kind of wanted to hop on here and share it with you all. First off, if you supported our campaign, the Love Black Shirts, thank you. Last time I checked, we were like over 500 shirts, so thank you. I appreciate your support. I wanted to say, in 2016, my wife and I were going to a lot of protests. 2013, before I met my wife, I was going to a lot of protests here locally. 2015, when my wife and I got married in 2016, we also went to protest. During this time of us going to protest here locally to protest the killing of people like Darius Stewart, who was an unarmed, it's crazy, bro. An unarmed black man who was killed, black boy actually, on a church property in a exurb, that means an ex-suburb. I experienced something that made me realize I had to go back and reorganize. So we're protesting. First off, I'm going to say this. a lot of people, when they protest, them chants be whack, all right? Let's just keep it a buck, man. I don't feel like no people of color wrote some of these chants y'all saying, because them mothers is mad arrhythmic. You know what I mean? So that's number one. Number two is this. And I think this illustrates the larger point, right? Because there's just a lack of sometimes soul in a lot of protests. And that's not to hate on the protests, but that's simply to say that I think there's something we can learn from the past. By that I mean, when my wife and I were at this protest, she was pregnant with my first child. During this time, with her being pregnant with my first child, she's there supporting the protest, and somebody starts to chant, "Yo, F the police, let's leave." Now, me and my brother had just sauced up. We had just sauced up some of the chants, because it was like, yo, these mugs is mad unseasoned. You know what I mean? Some of these chants. So we had put some seasoning on the sauce, and just was kind of bumping, you know? And in the middle of us doing those type of things, somebody starts saying, let's bring another chant. I didn't know who this individual was. Like I said, I was not a leader at the protest. I was there, and I had been attending protests for like 2 or 3 years, so I knew some people, and I didn't know this individual. And they wanted to start yelling F the police. And then they said, let's go to the street. Now, mind you, I'm there with my wife, who is pregnant with my first child. And this is after we have experienced or had experienced our first miscarriage. But this person wouldn't know those things. And that's the point. This person wouldn't know anything about my life or my wife or our child or our history with miscarriages, because this person did not know me. What's up, everybody? Thank y'all for coming in. I'm just kind of talking about my experience with protesting. But I'm saying I went to protest for like 4 years plus, 2013 to 2016. I experienced at some point someone who was at a protest that I did not know beginning to call for activity at the protest that I wasn't with. And I definitely wasn't with when my pregnant wife was there after we had already experienced our first miscarriage. But again, this individual did not know this information because this individual did not know me. So what's my point? At that point, I realized something doesn't make sense. And I started to ask myself a bunch of questions, right? Dr. King, as I said earlier, was arrested 30 plus times during his time of protesting. Did you know what his job was? How did he pay bail? How did Dr. King pay bail? I started asking myself that question, and I realized I had no idea. Then I asked, if Dr. King or I go to jail, who takes care of Dr. King's family and makes sure that they have food, that they can pay rent, that they have groceries, that they're straight, that nobody runs up in their house and does further damage to their household? Who takes care of all that information? And I realized I didn't know the answer to that question either. And if I went to jail, I didn't know the answer to that for my wife and my children. I then started to think about the fact that, okay, well, let's say Dr. King does have a job. Oh, my dog is barking at this cat. Let's say Dr. King does have a job, and he is able to afford to pay bail and to take care of his family, even though somehow he's not around. What happens if he loses that job, right? What happens if he gets fired because his employer is racist? And they don't support his protesting. And I just thought about this because I was protesting and we were getting on the news. And I was like, yo, I'm a teacher right now at this private Christian school, and they probably not with all the smoke. And I don't have another idea. And I don't even know. Well, maybe somebody at this protest could employ me. Wait, I don't know these people. So just my warning to you all is, if you are protesting, please make sure that you are protected while you protest. And you can take that however you want. But I tell you this, Dr. King, when he protested nonviolently, but the Deacons of Defense, war veterans, were there to make sure if anything got all the way out of pocket, it got put back in the pocket. I'll tell you this too, the SCLC had a bail bond fund. At one point, that bail during the Birmingham bus boycott, that bail bond fund got depleted. Now, Dr. King still chose to go protest anyway because he's a boss. But do you know what his wife did? His wife reached out to the president. She also reached out to major sports activists and other influencers and entertainers. And I believe, if I am remembering my history correctly, Harry Belafonte raised $50,000 to add to the bail bond fund. And all the protesters who was arrested at that time during the Birmingham boycott were able to get out of jail. So what does that mean for me? That's why I started a business. That's why we're owning property. We're purchasing property in this neighborhood. is because if we don't own anything, then we can't protect ourselves when we protest. We just gonna be out here, y'all. And I love and pray for and want to protect everybody. Yeah, shout out Zip. Everybody right now who is protesting. But I want to implore those of us who are in the black community who own businesses, it is our responsibility to, if you're an artist and, because I'm an artist and a business owner, right? It's our responsibility to A, use our platforms to raise funds, and then B, use our businesses to bring income in consistently and profitably so that we can make sure people who are protesting get home. And I would suggest that you research the bail bonds available in your local community and support to the ones that you think are dope. Me personally, I'm supporting the Black Lives Matter bail bond. The reason why I'm supporting the Black Lives Matter bail bond in Memphis is because Tammy Sawyer, who was at every single protest I ever went to when it was one person, two person, three people, four people, has consistently been there. When it wasn't cool, when it wasn't sexy, when there was nobody there, Tammy Sawyer was there. I don't agree with Tammy Sawyer on everything. I don't have to. I respect the mess out of the integrity of that woman and will always follow her lead when it comes to issues surrounding protesting in this city. Why? Because she was there when it wasn't cool. She was there when it wasn't a hashtag. She put her job on the line multiple times. So it's my responsibility. Sorry. It's my responsibility as a black business. It's my responsibility as a black business owner to, maybe she getting heated because I'm getting heated, but it's my responsibility as a black business owner to make money and then give that money to the community. It's also my responsibility to have jobs available to people who lose their jobs. We ain't there yet because I'm not getting paid yet, but we gonna get there. And when we get there, I want to be able to provide jobs. One of the reasons why the space we want to build on the lot that we just bought next to our house, I want an Airbnb there, is because we need to be able to provide limited or partial or temporary housing to people who need somewhere to stay. If somebody goes to jail because they're protesting the cause and then they lose their home, they lose their apartment, they lose their rental property, do we have somewhere we can recommend they stay? Even temporarily. If someone's in town to support the cause, where can we allow them to go? So if you're just joining this morning, I just had a couple thoughts I wanted to get off my chest. And it's just some questions, right? Dr. King was arrested 30 plus times. What was his job? Because he had to pay bail. So how did he afford to pay bail? Did he pay it with the tithes and offerings from his congregation? I have to imagine Dr. King probably wasn't collecting tithes and offerings that much because the brother was moving around. So how did he afford to pay bail for those 30 plus times he went to jail? Who took care of his family and made sure that they have food and clothing, that people did not try to commit further racist acts against them? Who was the person or the individuals who made sure that they could pay rent, that they have food on deck, that his children were still getting to school? Who did all of those things? We got to get organized, fam. We got to think about this stuff, because if we just walk out here and protest, they're going to do us just like they have always done us. COINTELPRO is real. What's up? Clarify your question, bro. COINTELPRO is real. There is a reality that there has been an infiltration act. We are posting, we're posting protest flyers. I hadn't even got to this. We're posting protest flyers on Facebook, which is how I got to any protest I ever went to. But do you understand that there is, a historically verified infiltration act by the CIA over the period of like almost 20 years to infiltrate and subjugate and infect the civil rights movement?
COINTELPRO was a massive government criminal operation directed against the population that went through four administrations. Mainly Kennedy and Johnson, then Nixon started a little earlier. And it targeted virtually all critical thought and action for not only surveillance, but for disruption. It went way beyond the Snowden case. It went as far as literal political assassination.
So COINTELPRO literally put plants. If you watch the documentary Who Killed Malcolm X on Netflix, it goes into this. If you watch 13th, it goes into this.
Our desire, our prayer, that we can have a peaceful, intelligent rally here this afternoon. But at the same time, we see that they have surrounded us with many of their own agents in uniform and out of uniform.
Again, the attempts, it wasn't because of something that was going on between the nation. It was because he had gained the support of 33 heads of African states, and their agenda was to bring the issue of human rights violations to the Supreme Court at the United Nations. And so he was killed shortly after, as were a few other people.
Okay. Because, one of the things that he mentioned was that when he was in Mecca, he was being watched.
Right.
And he was being followed, and he felt that it was by the CIA. Right. Do you think that's what happened?
Well, I wasn't there, but I believe whatever my father says.
Yeah.
And so his point was that he wasn't being followed by the Nation of Islam.
So because we know the government has a history of sending plans to protest, because we know that there are bricks being put outside of buildings, who's putting those bricks there?
Have you seen these bricks that people have been finding at all these different sites where people are protesting?
Uh-uh.
These organized stacks of bricks.
No.
Look, it's in North Hollywood. So these pallets of bricks are just sitting there. Like, look at this.
What?
Yes.
They're just like... riot supplies.
Exactly, riot supplies.
Because we see weird individuals on social media with little microphones coming out of their ears, walking around inciting people to violence, or with umbrellas busting windows. Or because if you've researched the Boogaloo movement, you know that there are organizations and individuals who have really nothing to do with the protection of black lives. They have a separate agenda, who are seeking to co-opt the movement and make it about what they want it to be about, the brothers with the Aloha shirts. You know what I mean? If that's the case, then we gotta have something going on that's not public to support the public action that we're calling everyone to. Did you know that during the civil rights movement, you had to go to trainings for protests? I didn't know that, but I realized when I was at a protest with my pregnant wife after our first miscarriage, and someone said, let's say F the police and run in the street, I realized, dang, we don't have the same tactics. She didn't know that we had a miscarriage because I did not know her, because we had never spoke before we pulled up, and I still don't know that woman's name to this day. So we got to get more organized, right? If we're going to be about this action... my guy said, we see the plants. I'm like, if there's already a system when we don't have a system, that's no bueno. Exactly, bro. I'm like, if we already know that there are plants, and we already know that there are people seeking to infiltrate our situations, we have to have training. So did you know that if you wanted to participate in a nonviolent protest with Dr. King, or with the SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Coalition, or if you wanted to participate in a protest with SNCC, which was the student nonviolent SNCC. Anyway, did you know if you wanted to participate in these things, you had to go through training, and you could be disqualified for going to the protest? My G, if you didn't make it through the training, if they got you to crack and snap, you wasn't going to the protest. They're like, you could drive the car, you can make dinner for when we get back, but you're not going. Can you imagine somebody telling somebody today, you can't come to the protest, you're not gonna get the Instagram pic you want? But the reason why they did that is because the situation was too crucial. One, people could die if somebody got out of pocket and didn't follow the game plan. Two, the point they were trying to make wouldn't be made. And this is my last thing I want to say. Protesting was never the point of the civil rights movement. Protesting is dope. I learned a lot. I grew a lot. I feel like I became more brave in protesting. And I think it's a beautiful, spiritual, empowering experience. But I'm just saying, historically, protesting was never the point. The point was policy change. Protesting was a manipulative PR act to put public pressure. I'm about to say a lot of P's. To put public pressure. And when I say manipulative, I don't mean bad. I mean smart. I mean like it was actually strategic and dope, right? You're trying to actually manipulate the public perception of the individuals who are doing the oppression. I didn't mean to rap. I'm not trying to rap. But that's, you're trying to publicly show and get them to reveal their wickedness. And that takes some type of manipulation, because people who are oppressive want the perception of being positive. And so in the public view, they're going to pretend to be good people. And if we know they're not, then you have to force them or trick them into revealing their hands. If you're going to trick them into revealing your hands, you have to bait them. That's the point of a protest, of the nonviolent sit-ins. It was to bait these racist people to reveal their wickedness, and then to have a planned photographer who worked for you to take the picture and put it out to the media that you had already contacted. So when we do these things, we need media contacts. We need paid photographers that work for us that we know, because there are fake photographers that the government sent through COINTELPRO to try to infiltrate the movement, and they weren't taking pictures to illustrate the wickedness of racists. They were taking pictures to get names, dates, and faces and birthdays. So if we're going to be able to do these things effectively, we got to do those things. So I'm going to walk through them one more time with you guys. Okay, number one, Dr. King was arrested 30 plus times. So I'm gonna walk through these things one more time. Dr. King was arrested 30 plus times. What was his job? How did he pay for bail? There were black businesses behind him that were profitable that made sure that the bail bonds were able to stay funded. You can't put all your profit in a bail bond, but you can put part of it. You can create a specific product like we just did and say a portion of this product will always go towards bail bonds. Those are things we can do. Fact, and I think it's a long-term commitment, right? So the first thing we got to wonder is that. Secondly, artists, if the bail bond gets depleted, it is your responsibility to use your platform to raise more money. Again, I give the example of the Birmingham bus boycotts when the bail bonds ran out and no more black businesses could bring more money because the black businesses were being discriminated against as well. Coretta Scott King, the queen, reached out to the president, literally to the president, who called her back and said, hey, we're going to work on it. And she also reached out to artists, one of whom was Harry Belafonte, who was able to raise $50,000 in the 1950s to fund and basically add more resources to the bail bond, to the SCLC bail bond. So we got to do those bail bonds. Next, protesting is not the point. Well, I'm sorry. The next thing was, please pay attention to how we organize, because publicly announcing our protest when there's no private organization or decision around what's going to happen and what our intended goal is, it makes us vulnerable to infiltration, which we know is a historical fact because of COINTELPRO. And if you don't know about COINTELPRO, just go look at it. Right. But it takes multiple factors. You need people on the front line. We need grocers to make sure people have food. We need restaurants to make sure people have food. And then we need to make sure people who are protesting begin and end the protest with supporting those restaurants so they can continue to provide food and jobs. If your employer doesn't like what you're doing, they may fire you. That's possible. And we're cool with taking that risk. But we need some businesses on the back end who can hire the people who are fired. We need some people. So we got to support these businesses. Again, that's why, one of the reasons why we started a business, why we're building in the hood. In addition to these things, protesting is never the point. Protesting is to publicly put pressure on politicians to change policies. That's just the point. Now, protesting is dope. It has an inherent value of its own, but protesting is literally a lever, okay? It's a lever. What is a lever? It's something you put under something else to leverage a result and create an action. So the point is to create an action, and we have to take the time to organize privately to figure out what actions do we agree on. So right now I'm meeting with some brothers who I already know are doing the work, who are already participating in this. We started meeting earlier this week, right? And I'm not going to talk about what we talked about because, again, COINTELPRO. But the point is I can verify these brothers because I know them and I know their spirit. And I will tell you this, even when we sat down to create a list of things we want to recommend, that took work. Because black people are not monolithic and we don't all agree and we don't all have to agree. But can we please identify some lowest common denominator? I'm going to talk about math real quick. Can we find the lowest common denominators for the black community? Things that, look, we all don't have to agree on everything, but can we agree on some things? It could be three. It could be just three things. But those three things we need to agree on and communicate. So we're going to put our list out here next week. We got one or two more meetings to do. In addition to that, we're going to continue to push products. I have a couple black businesses I'm partnering with, and we're going to tell you guys about those products. If you are someone of financial means, you can go purchase those products. And those products, we're going to dedicate a portion of those products to go toward the bail bond in our local city. And I would encourage black businesses around the nation to do the same thing. Last but not least, we got to have some outcomes that we all want to happen. And that could be those lowest common denominators. But again, please make sure that those things are identified, because I would hate to see some of us locked up or manipulated and fall into some of the infighting that happens. Because sometimes you don't even, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Sometimes people who are against the movement don't even need to get a plant in the movement. They need to make you think they got a plant in the movement, and then we'll destroy ourselves. So right now in Memphis, people are saying, I'm hearing the word plant come up way more. So-and-so's a plant. So-and-so's a plant. I can't co-sign nobody but me, myself, and my mama. So I don't know if the dude a plant or not. But what I can say is, if he might be a plant, the reason why we're falling for it is because we didn't organize prior to the protest. We just showed up because history lied to us. History said, oh my gosh, Rosa sat and Martin marched and all the racism fell tumbling down. But there was a seriously complex organism behind those actions, right? There was a seriously complex organism behind those actions. They picked Rosa Parks. And again, anything I recommend is not at the detriment of another person. I just speak for what I know. I know Tammy Sawyer is committed, and she recommends Black Lives Matter bail bond, but any bail bond that's effective. And I know individuals like Victoria and Dame, who are associates of mine, who have been bailed out by the bail bond, by the Black Lives Matter bail bond within 24 hours. So I can personally guarantee its veracity and its effectiveness. I'm sure there are a lot of dope ones, though. So if you know of one that you can recommend, and you know the funds are being used, how they're supposed to be used, and you know that they're publicly available and there ain't no bougie red tape, recommend them. The whole point that I just wanted to communicate to you guys was that Dr. King was arrested 30 plus times. Just some questions to think about. How did he pay for that? Because he didn't have a job and he wasn't collecting tithes and offering. There were businesses behind him. How did his family get taken care of? There was a community of people dedicated to the well-being of each other as people before they were protesters. And so therefore their families would get taken care of. Again, how did they find out? What did they do if someone got fired from their job because their boss didn't like what they were doing? There were businesses, again, behind them that could hire people or that could at least provide some funds to alleviate their issues, maybe even provide housing because people own property. And then last but not least, these last two things, COINTELPRO is a real thing. People really are setting bricks in front of places for no reason. There are weird dudes with umbrellas busting windows. The Boogaloo movement really is, which look up the Boogaloo movement, is really seeking to co-opt the movement for their own purposes. Whether you agree with the Boogaloo movement or not, that's not my position here. I'm just saying it's a different position than, it's a different movement than Black Lives Matter. It's a different movement than the Civil Rights Movement. It's just different. So I'm not saying good or bad, because I'm not here to recommend or disrecommend. I'm just here putting out information. You can do what you want to with it. I would definitely encourage you to find a group of like-minded individuals who you agree with their actual values. Again, financial freedom does equal freedom. I'm trying to buy off some police officers one day, fam, and put them on the please don't shoot black people payroll. You know what I mean? We got gangs and we got mobs that buy off police officers. We got politicians that buy off police officers. I'm trying to be some activists who buy off police officers. You know what I mean? So those are things we want to see. And so, like I said, yeah, COINTELPRO is a real thing. So please make sure you are aware of that. And if you see this, just go back and rewatch it and share it, because I don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over again. But I do want to say that COINTELPRO is a real thing. So bricks are really being put in front of these things, in front of buildings. There are real people infiltrating the movement historically, and it's possibly happening now. So there has to be some agreed upon actions and things that will not happen that you, whoever you are protesting with, agree upon before the protest. And you make it known to people who are coming to your protest that these are the things we will and will not do. And if you don't want to do them, that's your right as an American, but don't do them with us. Just because of the history of the thing, and there are government plants. And then the last thing that I wanted to say was that protesting is a lever. Please use it effectively. Protesting is not as an effective tool when we try to use it as a baton as opposed to a lever. So if you pick up protesting and just try to hit people over the head with it, it doesn't do as much as when we use it as a lever to create collective action. Because if you know anything about mechanics, the force is doubled. I think it's doubled, right? Somebody help me out here. But the force is multiplied when you use a lever as opposed to picking up that lever and just trying to hit whatever you want to move. So we have to have some outcomes that we agree upon and that we need our own media outlets, our own imaging, our own artists who are able to move and to activate these things. And also, just last thing, please, y'all, if you are a artist, please make up dope chants. Some of these protesters need your help because they chants be slop. Some of these mugs don't even rhyme. Them mugs be stop the violence. Stop the violence. Stop the vibe. That's not, no, nope. We not doing that. On my ancestors, we not doing that chant. That chant is whack, bro. So maybe we need to have like choir practice. You know what I mean? Maybe we need to have choir rehearsal before the protest so that people can know their parts and we can identify some protests we gonna run through. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna just give y'all one and then I'm off. Me and my little brother made this up. So you heard the chant, no justice, no peace. No, first of all, no justice, no peace by itself is whack. But if you add the no racist police, it's got a little sauce on it. But we did this. come on, fam. But we did this joint. We said, we don't get no justice because they don't know no justice. We don't get no peace because they don't know no peace. Turn up. We don't get no justice because they don't know no justice. We don't get no peace because they don't know no peace. Turn up. So that's just like one example of just put a little sauce on the protest. If you a rapper, you here, I see some of my homies who are rappers in here. You know what I mean? Just help them out. They need a little help, especially some of these super multicultural, you know what I mean, joints. They just need a little... they just need a little seasoning, you know what I mean? And I'm not gonna be in no more protests because I got kids, and because we're trying to build our business and make enough money to actually bail y'all out when y'all go. But even if I do, check this last thing. Even if I do go to protests and I do go to jail, our business is digital. That's on purpose. I'm gonna say this one more time. Even if we do protest and the Lord's like, yo, you need to go. I'm going with a purpose. Me and the homies is going, and we're identifying what of our specific purposes when we go, right? Like, is it to protect women and children? Is it to bring water? Is it to have first aid kits for Mace? Like, we got a specific reason because, again, we're not organizing this protest. So we're coming as a tribe to support the larger nation with what we can provide because I can't speak to the overall values of a lot of these protests because I'm not organizing them. And I don't know the people. Like Tammy Sawyer, I can identify and support her because, again, went to protest for 4 years. She was there. But we got to have, when you show up with a plan, show up with resources, especially if you're a Christian, show up with tangible things to offer because there are going to be things that people say to do and you're going to be like, I don't want to do those things. But make sure you got something you can offer. If it's water, if it's money, if it's job options, if something, a blanket, something. A mask, something. Show up with something in your hand. You know what I mean? We the hands and feet of Jesus, but them mugs looking real empty. But yeah, what I was just going to say was, even if I did choose to go to a protest, even if I did choose to participate at this point, my business is digital, so it will continue to generate profit, and my wife can continue it, one of my associates can continue it, and I don't need to be there. Also, it's no windows to break on the internet. I mean, I guess you could break the computer. But that's intentional. So if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, black entrepreneur, and appreciate you, my G, and you want to provide resources to your community, it's intentional to think about, hey, how can I make sure my business is able to continue to generate profit so that we can continue to support issues that are happening even when I am not there or if I happen to go to jail? Because we got a plan on going to jail. That's the point. Dr. King went to jail 30 times. There were pictures of it for a purpose to illustrate a point. So if we're going to a protest and we don't plan on going to jail, you might not want to go to the protest. Like, I see people, and Tammy Sawyer again brought this up, but she's like, it's a lot of people going to these protests and being like, well, we got to follow the rules. Somebody going to jail. That's the point. We trying to get them to take us to jail. I don't know if some of y'all don't know that, but we're trying to get them to take us to jail for exercising our civil liberties because we're trying to illustrate that we are not afforded the same rights as the Constitution said. And Dr. King said it best, I just want this nation to be true to what it says on paper. And it's not, and we know that, but they say it is, and so we need pictures to prove it. hey, look, boom, going to jail. Look, see, here's a picture. You know what I mean? If you're a photographer, your skills are needed at this time, right? If you're a photographer, your skills are needed because we need you to take pictures of the right things that are emotional and convicting. Have you ever seen civil rights pictures? Them mugs was flames. The composition of these joints is ridiculous. And it wasn't an accident. They make you feel something because the person and the people who were taking them were trying to illustrate a point, right? It wasn't just like any picture. They're taking a picture to illustrate a point. So shout out to all the illustrators and artists who are illustrating these issues to communicate them to people. Because Dr. King, the purpose of a nonviolent protest was to emotionally connect with someone before they even could cognitively disagree, right? The purpose of the music and the art, that I mean, the whole album Coffee Black, right, is to emotionally connect with you and create empathy for the movement before you can cognitively have a chance to say, wait, I don't like that. I actually don't. You already bought in emotionally. So that's one of the roles of artists, right? And that's one of the roles of protest of the chance. The good ones, anyway, is it makes you move in and fall in line even when you don't, even when you might not have agreed otherwise. So anyway, fam, that's it. Love you guys. I'll leave this up so y'all can watch it and share it and dialogue with me more in the DMs. I don't have a ton of time because, like I said, we're past 500 orders for these. Zippity. Girl, if you don't stop. We're past 500 orders at this point for these shirts. So I gotta go do them. And then I gotta do a budget and like send some money. So, and then we gotta print 500 plus shirts at the house. But thank you guys for your support. I hope this helps. Before I leave, are there any questions? There's a question box, or you can shoot me a, you can just put it in the comments. But do you guys have any questions before I dip? I'm gonna give it like a couple minutes. And if you missed it, you know, I can clarify what we're talking about. But I'm about to log off and then you can just rewatch it. Any questions before I go? Yeah, appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. Zippity, why you knock this over? What's this? Ugh. Okay, it doesn't look like there are any questions, so I'm going to go ahead and log off. Love you guys. Appreciate you. And see you soon. Y'all stay safe out here and stay organized.
What up, family? So thank you so much for watching. Just a couple of thoughts I wanted to leave you guys with. Number one, if you're in the coffee industry and you're watching this, or if you're a person who is trying to start a business, so you feel like you're creatively minded, you want to help. The coffee industry is a $100 billion industry. And I say this every time, it's the second biggest industry right after oil. It was discovered by Black people. We should use that tool. You know, we can use that tool to do a lot of things. One of those things is to, again, support the bail bonds for your local city. Find ones you agree with, find ones that you feel like have integrity, and then invest in them. Number two, a lot of people are saying that nothing good is happening from the protests now, and that's not true. There are people who, when we're not watching, when the world isn't covering it, are actually doing organizational work. And because of that, this has created an opportunity for them to put pressure to create laws. So people are pulling down Confederate statues. Breonna's law just got passed in California, which prohibits the use of chokeholds. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening. People are really talking about budgets. And the last thing I just wanted to share with you guys is something that happened at a protest here in the city. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important. Tony Marcuso and Albauer, drove cars into a protest that was happening in a local park in the middle of the city, kind of like in the hipster part of town. So at the moment, Tony Marzocco has been arrested, charged with 4 counts of reckless endangerment, 1 count of reckless driving. But no, he hasn't been convicted yet. And then no charges have been brought against Bo Albauer. So those are things that have to change. And if you're going, those are dangers we have to be ready to address. and you can, again, you can take that however you want. But those are just things I think we have the capacity to address and things we should be prepared to if you're going. So, yeah, y'all keep that coffee black. Thank you for your support. If you order the shirt, you know what I mean? Today's Monday the 8th. We're planning on getting those shirts out to you guys this Friday. And then if you're in the second round of shirts after these 500 shirts, we'll get them out to you the following week. So, again, thank y'all so much. Keep that coffee black. No sugar, no cream. Yeah.
Coffee stay black just like me. Don't need no sugar. Don't need no cream. Coffee stay black just like me.